gentleman several years ago in Alexander Central, and he had on his heart to bring revival to Alexander County High School. Sounds like a great endeavor, doesn't it? Sounds like a grandiose idea. But he did see a measure of that. It's Graham, you and your wife, Rachel, if you would come up. Put you on the spot here. This is Graham Marshall and his wife, Rachel. They are been in Liberty University after he left Alexander Central. They led a prayer group, Graham did. He's one of these crazy guys for Jesus, can you tell? This is what you guys have to look forward to. I've checked his oil. I checked his fire. It's still well. He's still on fire, and he's still doing crazy stuff for Jesus. He's getting ready, he and his wife, to go to Las Vegas, Nevada, in a church plant. Now tell me he's not crazy. Isn't that right? So they're here today. Where's the microphone? Pastor, would you, I need a couple of prophecies to this couple. They're going to Las Vegas. They're going to plant a church. I'm going to pray. I need a couple of words. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for the power of your Spirit. We thank you that your Spirit speaks, and I pray that this church will speak into this church in Las Vegas. Speak to us through the power of your Spirit, Lord. We know you have something to say in Jesus' name. Amen. If anybody has a word, when you're looking at them, does the Lord give you anything? Just raise your hand. Okay, right here, Pastor. Would you mind giving them the mic right there? Okay. What do you see? What do you hear the Lord saying?
You are a tree planted by the river that roots run deep, and it's going to bear great fruit.
Elizabeth, could you write these down, please? You're a tree beside the river, and you'll bear grapefruit. Psalms chapter 1. Okay. Mark?
I had a dream early this morning. I told Scott a while ago, and the Lord spoke to me and told me that I think it applies to this, and I'm not sure I understand it. It was kind of simple. But there was a large crowd of us in a huge building painting the floor, and the devil was overseeing it. And he turned his back for just a moment, and Jesus walked up and dumped his paint out and poured his paint in the devil's paint bucket and said, y'all just go back to painting. He won't know the difference.
Mm. Now, if you know how to write that one down, Elizabeth, good luck. We'll pray for you.
I have two sisters that have lived in Las Vegas for a little over 35 years. So I want to prophesy that you will not despise the city, but that you will love the people in it.
Amen. Amen.
I just saw like an explosion, like a shock wave coming out from you all of love.
I saw a spade going into the desert, and I think Las Vegas is in the desert, and it came up with several grains of sand, and that's how many people I think y'all people are going to save out there.
That's Abraham. That's a prophecy made to Abraham. Amen.
His treasure is precious out there, and he's going to open your eyes to see that preciousness in those people that you're going to chase after.
Amen. Right back here's another one. We'll take maybe one or two more.
I've been to Vegas a few times, and of course it has kind of a bad reputation, but the one thing about it is the people there love to serve. They really take joy in making you happy. Of course, that can easily be used for kingdom stuff.
Amen. Okay, let's take one more. Two more. I'm sorry. Yeah, okay, let's do two. Yeah, both ladies, and I would not deny a lady.
I just keep getting the feeling like somebody's going to go there on a trip. And because it's Vegas, they're going to be wanting to be excited. They're going to be wanting to, you know, just have a good time. But when they go there, they're going to run into you. And that you are going to change someone's life, and they're going to come back so excited and so on fire for God that they're going to change the people where they live when they come home.
Yes, amen. Yes, you keep, yeah. I wouldn't dare say no to the Lord here. Amen.
go, 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 run, run with the vengeance of me deep within your heart. I have cleared the path. And yes, there were stones and boulders and all in the way, but I have cleared it. It's cleared. Go and run. And when you come into those hard places, son, grab the horns of the altar. Do not let go. Grab hold of it and do not let go in those hard places. And I also see you all out on the street, which I know you're going to spill over into all parts of that city. But there is a young lady. She's got long, dark hair, and she's curled up in a corner. Mm-hmm. And she's been through a lot. Mm-hmm. Love, love her, love her. Love her into wholeness.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Graham, I saw that you, when you were standing, that there is in your belly 4 large golden pillars. Mm. And that coming out from the pillars are like golden glory. Mm. And I sense that even though that there may be many boulders that you'll have mm-hmm. to walk over, it's your time in the throne room. Mm. It's your time in intimacy that's going to bring you into a place of being able just to release the love of the Lord to everyone you touch. Mm. And Rachel, I saw that you have such a gift of creativity mm. and that everything you touch mm. seems to turn into beauty. Mm. And that there were children especially who were going to be following mm. after you, just following you, coming alongside, and that would lead you into a place where you're ministering to families. Mm. God bless you.
Amen. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. The three that are going on the trip, would y'all come up right quickly, please? Would y'all just stand in front of Graham and Rachel? Rachel, would you lay hands on the lady? I need Graham to, would you give Graham the microphone?
And want me to hold it so you can put hands
there
on
you go.
What she's trying to do?
Oh, yes, that's fine. The Lord just says, trust me. Tyler, this church is made up of whole people that were once broken. Tyler, this church is made up of people that were once blind, but now they see. It's Jared, right? Grogan? Luke? Luke? This church is made up of lame people that now walk. And I'm believing that the anointing and the mantle of revival for Alexander County and the unity of the body of Christ is just going to come on you right now. God's calling a grounding over both of your lives. You are zealous and you are strong in the faith. But the Father says, rest in me. The Father says, do not strive, but enter my rest. Just enter his easy yoke. His burden's light. He just loves. He just loves. There is freedom from religion. There's freedom. We are not under the law anymore. We are under grace. And so as Alan said earlier in his teaching, the expression of the glory of God is the grace. The most provocative thing in this world is the grace of God. And so you are carriers of the grace. You are carriers of the grace of God. So I just commission you and you and you. And I commission this church to walk in the blessing and the identity of being a son and a daughter of Jesus. Tyler and Luke, you know that you are a son. You are sons of God. And bro, with the gift of evangelism that God has like put on your life, like, bro, it just starts like in the classroom, man. It doesn't start on the stage. It just starts just loving people ridiculously. Just love them, man. Just love them. Bro, that's good. And dude, I just see like a pastor's heart that God's like birthing in you. And he just says, steady, son. Don't get ahead of yourself. Just like be steady, you know? Just be steady, bro. And Jesus loves you, man. He loves you. I just look at you. I just see like Paul, you know? And look at Paul's life. Look at his, you know, the spirit of religiosity when it was released out of him. It was the greatest birthing of the church, you know? And I just believe that Satan is going to want to attack you with the spirit of religiosity. But I believe that in the freedom and the abundance of Jesus, there's just going to be goodness, man. There's just going to be a flow that you're going to walk in. You're just going to walk in. People are going to know you guys when you walk on Alexander Central's campus and wherever you go by the freedom and the abundance of the Holy Spirit in you.
Alyssa, I just see you just being such a vessel of peace. Just being a sister, I guess, just to the broken and in this city, because there's so many. And I just kind of see you being the glue that pulls people together. And just always know that the Spirit of the Lord testifies in your heart that you're a daughter of the Most High King. Nothing can take that away from you, and that's going to be what propels you forward. And just knowing that the love, that's all we need. And people will know us by our love, and that's Jesus within us. So I just pray that and speak that over you, that power would just come from love, and that would just spring forward in your heart, just spill over into others, and just that you would be so grounded in the Word of God. That's just where your true knowledge and truth will abound evermore in your heart. So I just speak that over all of you guys, and just that y'all are just vessels of love and of peace and of truth. And together, like, you're going to see the city change.
Come on.
You're just going to see a new garden.
Yeah.
In this place. It's going to mimic the Garden of Eden. It's just going to be a place that God meets people here and walks with people and talks with people. And it's just going to be new. So it's just what I speak over you guys. So,
yeah. Amen. Thank you. Well, let's extend our hands towards Graham and Rachel. And we do expect a report back for all of his prophecies went your way. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for Graham. We thank you for Rachel. We thank you for their commission. And we bless them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that they'll go with fire in their hands, with joy in their hearts, and with the Spirit in their feet, that you'll guide them in where to go, where to walk, what to say. So, Lord God, we release them from here to their new destination of Las Vegas. And, Lord God, with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, we commission them to that city, that it will be taken for the kingdom of God. And all of those agreed said, amen, amen and amen. Yeah. Amen. Well, I feel like what I've got to say is not worth a whole lot. You ever tried following the Holy Spirit? My only hope is that it'll be in the teaching today. It is 20 to 12. Could y'all give me maybe an extra 10 minutes? I do have something. It goes right along with what we just did, just where we just prayed for these. And the Lord moves in the power of His Spirit, and He brings impartation. And we understand that prayer is the tool of the Christian. An airplane is the tool of a pilot. A car is the tool of the race driver. An army tank is the tool of our army. Prayer is the tool of the Christian. And we have more power than all of those that I just spoken about. There was commissioning took place this morning that was necessary for Graham and his wife. They go into the full power of the Spirit. I didn't realize it until the Lord said it, but He said we could give us the privilege to commission them and to send them in power. That's an honor, church. That's just a real honor for them to come here today and allow us to do that. But it's all released in the Spirit and the power of prayer. You know, prayer is a topic that is, it's kind of like a hot air, but it's kind of like a balloon. You're trying to keep it in the air all the time for people to pray. And, you know, what usually happens in prayer is people get sleepy. Call it sleepy prayer. Anybody ever had sleepy prayer? And we think, well, what good is the prayer doing? Because it all makes us sleepy. And, you know, Jesus told the disciples at one time, He said, in the Garden of Gethsemane, they went to sleep on Him. And He said, could you not just wake up for a little bit? You know, and so something happens and in prayer. But for prayer, something that we talk about and that we utilize and we do so much, sometimes it loses the understanding, it loses the emphasis. And this church has been declared to be called a house of prayer. Pastor and Elizabeth asked me to bring a message on prayer this morning to help bring it back to our attention and back to our focus. And just as the Lord did with the disciples, He'd go through Jerusalem and He'd do a miracle. He'd heal somebody and He'd do all kinds of stuff. And then at night, they'd go back to the mountain to build a campfire. And the disciples would say, well, Jesus, what meaneth thou this? Well, I don't know if they said King James or not, but they said something like that. And they said, Jesus, what does this mean? So Jesus always did the impartation of the miracle first, and then He did the teaching second. So the Lord gave us a demonstration. There was a miracle took place in our front of our eyes this morning. There's a transference. There was an anointing to bring a revival to this county on that young man. He just passed it on to our young people. Miracle right before your eyes. There's a mantle passed. There was a brand new mantle issued for Graham and his wife in Las Vegas. That mantle was issued. God did the operations of the power of the Spirit first, and now we're going to do just a little teaching on it. So it's in light of that that I do this teaching. And if we talk about prayer, who needs it? Well, I think we all do. The next thing is intercessory prayer. What is it? Intercessory prayer, who are these crazy people that call themselves intercessors? Wow. Okay. Unanswered prayer. Why do we have unanswered prayers? Anybody asked yourself that question? Why do we have unanswered prayer? Why are we to pray the Scriptures? Now, I'm going to use a lot of Scripture this morning. And I want us to understand about prayer. I'm going to be interjecting that last line. Why do we pray the Scriptures? Sometime in sleepy prayer, what happens is we run out of a shopping list. Milk, eggs, bread, bacon, and all the little pygmies in Africa. Right? We run out of everything in the missionaries. What happens in a sleepy prayer is we run out of what we are praying for, not understanding necessarily the full purpose in prayer. And I hope at the conclusion of this teaching, and I will move through it quite rather quickly for the sake of time, is for us to see the purpose of praying and also considering praying Scripture. So that is our task at hand this morning. Now, this is said by Corrie ten Boom. Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? Sometimes we resort to prayer after everything falls apart. When in fact, if prayer had been the steering wheel, maybe it wouldn't have fell apart. Right? Wouldn't you love to live life in a way that you didn't need delivered from something? Right? Some things can be avoided. This is another one I think is great. History is silent about revivals that did not begin with prayer. Who said that one? Edwin Orr. He's the guy. He's the revival guy. And he is talking. He said, "You history's silent of revivals that did not begin with prayer." Look at this one by A.W. Tozer. To desire revival and at the same time neglect personal prayer is to wish one way and walk another. That's interesting. Look at this one. Now, this is my favorite. The angel fetched Peter out of prison, but it was prayer that fetched the angel. Come on, somebody. Never heard of this guy, have you? Thomas Watson. Huh? What do you think about that one? See, I could stop right there and you already got it. The angel fetched Peter out of prison, but it was prayer that fetched the angel. So what are we doing with prayer? We're fetching. Redneck's been doing it a long time. We've been fetching. We're to pray. We're to commission. We're to call. We just commissioned several young people today. It's a big transaction just took place in the heavens this morning, right here, right before your eyes. Hope you didn't miss it. We can see what is this purpose of prayer. Prayer, who needs it? I'm going to go over some little things. I'm going to move right quickly. Keep in mind praying scripture. Who needs prayer? Those that are in spiritual leadership. Those that are in spiritual leadership. Look at the scripture. And he will yet deliver us. You also joining in helping us through your what? Through your prayers. So that thanks may be given by many persons on behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of my goodness. You see that? That's the Apostle Paul. He is declaring here, he is showing us that favor can be bestowed upon another through prayers of many. We just prayed for some young adults this morning. Did you know that favor is bestowed upon them on their behalf because many of us prayed for them? That's what the Bible says. Is it important that it happened? Yes, it's very important. Prayer is the greatest weapon of the believer. It's prayer. Which happens first, prayer or the event? Now watch it. Who else needs prayer? We do for what? For divine protection. 2 Thessalonians, Paul again. Pray for us, he says, that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you, and that we will be rescued from perverse and evil men. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. How do you pray that scripture? We pray for Graham and Rachel, that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you, and that Graham and Rachel will be rescued from perverse and evil men. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect Graham and Rachel from the evil one. Glory. Now, did anybody feel it? Did you feel it? You see, we got prayer, then we pray scripture. I'm going to show you why we pray scripture. You personalize it. Personalize it to yourself. Personalize it to who you want to pray for. You personalize it to a nation, to a country. You learn to pray scripture. Prayer, who needs it? We do for the boldness to speak the truth. Ephesians 6:19-20. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming that it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. How do we pray that? And I pray on Luke's behalf, that utterance may be given to Luke in the opening of his mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which Luke is an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, Luke may speak boldly as Luke ought to speak. Did you feel it? Did you just, I'm sorry, Luke, you just got it. You're the recipient of that scripture. Will it return void? No. It will not return void. Prayer, who needs it? I do when I'm sick. Acts 28:7-9. And it happened that the father of whoever that was lying in bed afflicted with recurrent fever and dysentery. And Paul went in to see him. And after he had prayed, he laid his hands on him and healed him. Isn't that amazing? He went in to see him, and after he had what? He had prayed. The Lord healed him. Prayer, who needs it? We do for what? For unity. John 17:20-21. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. Even as you, Father, and I in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for new life. Those that are at new life, who believe in me with their word, that new life may all be one. Even as you, Father, and I in me, and I in you, that new life also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Amen. Glory be to the name of the Word of God. Did you know that's true? Prayer, who needs it? We do, for guidance. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will do what? Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have ceased not to pray. Excuse me. Excuse me. I've been pretty sick all week, and I was hoping to get by. Has anybody got a cough drop? Excuse me. There you go. I was afraid I might start coughing. You see, now where was... Let me back up here. Where was that sick one at? I was looking for it there. Lord, we pray for Alan and his sickness, that you'll heal him. Amen. I'm feeling the best right now. I felt all week. Amen. So we see we need him for guidance. We also need prayer for wisdom. Now watch this one. James 1:5-6. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him do what? If you lack wisdom, you do what? You ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let Alan ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. There's some of y'all have been asking that one. Raise your hand right quick. I'm going to pray that one over you. Wisdom, raise your hands. You know who you are. It's kind of been in your heart here. Lord, you see all these hands. Please keep them raised. It's for God's benefit, not mine. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let all of y'all that have got your hands raised up ask of God, who gives all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Right there she is. She's done right there. That's coming your way. It's been sealed. It's been done. It's been declared. It's Word of God. I didn't say it. Word of God said it. You responded to it. You raised your hand. God says that he might give it to you. Didn't say that. Said he will give it to you. How can I walk in that authority? Because God said it. God said it. I believe it. The only thing I got to do is exercise what God said. There's one thing to say you believe all this, and it's another to start praying it. What's this one? I felt the wind right there. Did you feel that in Ray? He come from that way. I can feel the Lord. He just, see, when you read scripture, If you're up, if you want to speak any time, just read Scripture. It works every time. The Holy Ghost is just there on God's Word. Prayer, who needs it? We do, so we will forgive our enemies. This is a good one. I knew you would all be clapping over this one. Acts 7:59-60. They went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then falling on his knees, he cried with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Having said this, he fell asleep. Stephen forgave those that were slaying him. It's forgiveness. Say forgiveness is freeing. Say forgiveness is a big deal. It is. Now, that was prayer. Who needs it? This one's intercessory prayer, and what is it? I do not claim to have all the information on this one. I'm still viewing intercessors. I'm still observing them. One time they were an endangered species. When I discovered some of them, how they act, I knew why. You ever been around a bunch of happy intercessors? I may tell you what's the truth. If you get a hold of some real ones, now they'll back you up against the wall is what they'll do. You think, that's exactly right. Okay, Lord, I'm going on here. Intercessors are not moved by evidence. Come on now. Where are you, intercessors? If you're getting discouraged, you're looking at the evidence. Intercessors are not moved by what they see. Intercessors declare the word God. Intercessors declared what God said. That's what intercessors do. When you start looking at the evidence and you start getting discouraged, if you're a discouraged intercessor, you're looking at the evidence more than the Word of God. That's just the way it is. Evidence does not always equal the truth, but the voice of the Holy Spirit is truth. The accumulation of evidence does not equal a spiritual truth. Can you hear me? The accumulation of evidence does not equal a spiritual truth. What equals a spiritual truth is what God's Word declares. Are you with me here? Can you see how important it is that we know God's Word so we can pray God's Word? If you see a little bit of evidence, go to the Bible, pray God's Word to it. If you say, Alan, I've run out of words to pray, that's all right. God's got a book full of them. What's this one? Intercessors intercept things in the spirit world. That's what happens. They catch the spiritual frisbee before it hits the ground. That's right. Intercessors intercept. That's what they do. They intercept things before they happen. Can prayer change things? Okay, prayer can change things. Somebody had to catch something to change its direction. Intercessors don't shoot with shotguns, they shoot with rifles. They identify their enemy, and they shoot her down. Do some get through our prayer? Time from time they do. But it's real. I'm just sorry to report to you, and I wish it was, and I wish we could sit down and just watch cartoons or something. But it's real. Spiritual warfare is real. And without the intercessors, we are dead in the water. Prayer is the most important arsenal that we have. Intercessors intercept things in the spirit world. Tony, I need a little help. I'm stuck. There it came. They can change the outcome through prayer. Jesus is the example of the intercessor taking everything to the cross. Did Jesus change your outcome? Yes. Did Jesus intercept your destiny? Yes. Is Jesus sitting on the right hand of God the Father making intercession for you right now? Yes. Just glory, hallelujah, somebody. So Jesus is just asking us to join Him in intercession. Jesus intercedes to God the Father with His Word. That's what He does. Watch this one. Intercessors. You cannot be an intercessor, which is faith, a prophetic act, and a judge at the same time. Won't work. You can't pray for deliverance and judgment at the same time. That water won't come out of that spout. An intercessor is someone who doesn't want somebody to get judgment. An intercessor is someone who doesn't want somebody to get what they deserve. You're intercepting destiny. You're intercepting. You're praying on their behalf. I promise you 90% of the people that are sitting in here right now are here because somebody prayed them in. I guarantee it. My grandmother prayed for generations after. She was a genealogist. She prayed generations forwards and backwards. That's all she done. I mean, my kids, grandkids, and their kids, I don't know how far ahead she went, but she prayed them. She covered them, she cleaned them, and she just prayed them. That's what she done. 90% of everybody, the reason you're sitting here is because somebody prayed you in. That's just the truth. You think you finally got it. No, you didn't have no choice. Grandma stacked a deck against you. What grandma wants, grandma gets. Amen. Now, there's two basic fields out in front of us here. I can't develop the reason I came up with these percentages, but I believe it to be true out of experience. The first field is a battlefield. This is where we live 98% of our time. We have to learn how to maneuver here because it's real. It's in the workplace. It's in the world. You can go to Walmart and somebody's going to fuss at you before you get out the driveway. This is a battlefield. God's asked us to be His agents. Now, look here in this scripture. And He showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing on his right hand to resist him. We can see in the battlefield that Satan's always around you. A lot of people, they've come to me and say, "Well, Alan, I think the devil's after me." I'm like, "Oh, my Lord, you just now figured that one out." He's been after you the whole time. He said, "Well, I thought I was saved." I said, "You are saved. He's just trying to let you be saved and miserable. He doesn't want you to be saved and victorious." You do have an enemy. I am so sorry. There's going to be a day I'm going to look you in the eye in heaven. I'm going to say, "Boy, ain't you glad that one's over?" I can't say it yet. There is an enemy. He has been defeated. But only when you take God up on it. Come on. He's been defeated when you take God up on His word. Satan's always with us. There's always an enemy. Now, the harvest field, we tend to spend 2% of our time. Now, here's what I've seen. We've got intercessors. That's all of us are intercessors. Some answer the call stronger than others. But as intercessors, they are looking after the harvest field. We've got intercessors, but I've already seen a couple young evangelists starting to come forth. Can you feel it? We've got some young evangelists coming forth. Graham messed around and spilled it over on some in here. They can walk in or not. God's not mad either way. If you take Him up on it, there's power there. As you see the evangelists starting to rise, the intercessors, you've got to come on now. You see, you can't be an evangelist and an intercessor at the same time. Intercessors are the ones that look after the harvest field. The intercessors look after the pastor and the evangelist and all the other fivefold people. If you don't have the intercessors, our corporate, we can't move forward to the harvest field. Now, they'll keep us in a battlefield, and we're shooting each other and doing all this fighting, but it's nothing happening because we're not in the harvest field. Intercessors are important so that the evangelist can enter the harvest field. So I ask you, intercessors, you can hear a little bit of call of evangelism coming out of them. Write your names down. Give them protection as they go out into the harvest field. Let's look at our next one here so I can move on. Matthew 9:37. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Now, let's look at this one. I'm going to move on quickly here. God himself is looking. Ezekiel 22:30. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap. You see that one? Who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. You see, God is looking for those that pray. God is looking for intercessors. If nobody is on the wall for the land's going to fall. You can say, well, Alan, the United States is going to end up where it's headed. Well, the only reason it is because our intercessors have gotten off the wall. Going down is a natural progression of the lack of prayer. You missed a wonderful place to say, Alan, I agree with you. Can you see how important it is for us to pray? It's very, very, very important. Isaiah 59:16. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Which fell first, the land or the intercessor? The intercessor. The scriptures indicates that. God himself seeks faithful intercessors. Psalms 14:2. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand who seeks God. God is seeking the intercessor. He's looking for you. 2 Chronicles. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. The enemy will be after your loyalty. Intercessors are those who can stir themselves up. Now look at this one. I don't go to sleep on me. This is not sleepy prayer time. Intercessors are those who can stir themselves up. Now here's what happens with intercessors. Intercessors will start going down, get discouraged, everybody quits praying, and they're looking for something to stir them up. What they don't realize, God's put in an intercessor what you need to stir yourself up. Amen, Elizabeth? That's right. You see, it's already in you. As long as you keep looking out instead of in, you're not going to get stirred. What's this one? It's in Isaiah. And there is no one who calls on your name who stirs himself up to take hold of you. Whereas you stir yourself up. Let me move on quicker here. Intercessors are watchmen who have been set in place by God, and they are very persistent. Now here's the key thing. You have been set in place by who? By God. You didn't have a good idea one day and said you wanted to be one. God set you in place and you came kicking and screaming all the way till you finally agreed with it. Isaiah 62:6-7. I have set watchmen. That's God. On your walls, O Jerusalem, they shall never hold their peace day nor night. So if you come into a good intercession meeting and they're running around flagging and hollering and carrying on and shaking and flopping on the floor, just get out of the way. I don't understand it either. I've sat back and watched it and just glad it wasn't me. But my Bible tells me God's placed them there and they're not going to hold their peace day and night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent and give him no rest. Intercessors just supposed to aggravate the heaven out of God. Do not keep silent, give him no rest till he establishes, until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Come on now. Huh? What do you think? Now, one thing, I'm going on here. Characteristics of a successful intercessor. They are persistent and usually loud. I have set watchmen upon thy walls of Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or night. Ye shall make mention of the Lord. Keep not silent. They have great faith. They are a selfless people. Their heart cried out to the Lord, O wall of daughter of Zion, let tears run down like a river day and night. Give yourself no relief. Give your eyes no rest. The intercessor bears a sense of burden and responsibilities in Ezra. Now, while Ezra was praying and while he was confessing, weeping, and bowing down before the house of God. Can you see that? Praying, confessing, weeping, bowing down. That's what happens when you get around these intercessors. Nehemiah, so I was, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Now I'm going to move on. It's 10 minutes after 12. Can I have a few more minutes? Are you with me? Are you sleepy, bored, or hungry? Okay. I'm not going to feed you nor rock you to sleep. But James 4, 3 through 4. You asked and do not receive. Why do we have unanswered prayer? Because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasure. So we see we can pray and ask amiss. Why do we have unanswered prayers? What's this one? Unbelief, James 1 through 6. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. You can say, well, Alan, sometimes I doubt. I do too. But the scripture says I'm not to let God rest. That's what it says. God says, according to his word, that I'm to bug him until I get it. That's what he says. I just read it to you. So how long do you do it? Till you get it. You just pray till you get it. Now, we can pray with a wrong motive. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. That's where we ask amiss. If we do not care for the poor. Now, this is a big one, church. Our prayers can go unanswered if we do not take care of the poor. It's in Proverbs. Whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard. Whoa. So those of you who have the burden for the poor, bring it to our attention more. We've got to look at this thing more about the poor. Unforgiveness is why we have unanswered prayer. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. So unforgiveness is why we have unanswered prayer. Now, I could skip this one, but for a few of you in here, I will not. If husbands do not honor their wives, it's in 1 Peter. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife, as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Being interpreted means, if you do not honor your wife, God's not going to hear your prayers. Self-interpretation. Why do we have unanswered prayer? Because we have not a teachable spirit and we do not fear the Lord. Proverbs. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. If you don't have a teachable spirit, your prayers are hindered. Now, how can my prayer life be effective? Consider this one. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment that, what? Read it with me. We should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. So when we say whatever we ask, we can receive, everybody leaves out the last part. We've got to love one another. So we need to take that and keep that in mind. Psalm says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. How do we have effective prayer? This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. So we see that we can have an effective prayer if you do not have self-righteousness, but righteousness, if you know where your righteousness comes from, if we walk around with a haughty spirit, with a religious spirit, our prayers are just not heard. We must have humility, and I'm winding it down here. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. Prayer without humility doesn't get past the ceiling here. And also it says it in Peter. We see that we will need more faith. So whatsoever things you ask for in prayer, believing, you will receive. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In Romans it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the what? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if I'm going to pray in faith, by faith, start praying the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God is powerful. It's our greatest strategy. Now, I'm closing with this. Prayer must be persistent. Not to persuade God, but because there is an enemy. An enemy who must hear the prayers of the saints, declaring God's words to the heavens and to the earth. Now, here's what I want you to consider. Praying is not necessarily to persuade God, but it's declaring God's word to the heavens. Now, this book is laying right here. But this book's got to go through an amplifier, which is God's people. God's people is to take God's word and speak it into the heavens and into the earth. Watch it. Here's where you get your permission. Why are we to pray Scripture? It's in Ephesians 3:10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers where? In heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Everybody see that one? According to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Do you see that scripture? We, the church, has given permission to speak out into the principalities and the powers of heavenly places the manifold wisdom of God. When you pray, you're fulfilling Ephesians 3:10 through 12. Why do we pray Scripture? So we fulfill what the Apostle Paul said. It's in part of the mystery of Christ. It is through the church. Now I want you to watch this one. Numbers 14:20 through 21. It's my last slide. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy words. Talking to Moses, you know the story. They did the golden calf and all of that, and God said, Moses, I'm going to kill them. Moses said, God, I'd rather you did. You're going to give us a bad reputation. God turned around to Moses and said, Moses, well, I tell you what. The Lord said, I have pardoned according to what you said, Moses. I'm not going to kill them. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Now, what do we do, intercessors, when we pray God's word? You see, the glory, God's promises, glory is coming to the earth. The glory of God is His Word. When you pray His Word and you speak it out into the principalities and the heavens, you are participating in the glory of God coming to the earth. Do you know what allows us to do the glory of God to the earth? It's called the grace of God. You see, the grace of God was God's greatest vehicle. It allows us, sinners, saved by grace, it allows us to be the agents of the Almighty God, to bring His glory to the earth, and to pray it, and to speak it, and declare it in the face of the enemy. I'm sorry he's here. I'm not trying to get you shot. It's the book. It's the Bible. You need to do it, and I need to do it. Let's just get on with it. What do you say? Let's declare the words of the Lord. Let's speak in it to the heavenlies. Let's stand. Let's sing, and let's worship. And as we worship, have in your heart, I hope that you leave from here today empowered with more truth of the Word of God. How we pray, why we pray, what are we doing when we pray? Why do we declare God's Word to the heavenlies? Because we alone, the Church of the Living God, have been commissioned. And it has been declared by God that He told Moses He's going to send His glory to the earth.
Then all of a sudden he had this secret and he had this mystery in the cross of Christ Jesus. And he says, I'm going to have a group of people that they're going to be sinners. But he said, I'm going to send my son to die for them because God said, Moses, I'm going to complete my glory coming to the earth. Somebody say glory. Hallelujah. Do you want to be part of this glory? When we pray for people, if you're sick today, come up here and let some glory people pray for you. We'll pray scripture over you. Where's my praying people? Come on up here. If you're sick and need prayer, you say, well, Alan, my finances are in bad shape. Well, come on up here. We're going to pray the Word of God over you. Did you know that? We're going to speak against the evil one on your behalf. We're going to speak against the evil one on your behalf. Lord Jesus, I pray that your word will be released through this congregation, through our lives. We'll never be the same. We'll learn your word. We'll pray your word. We'll speak your word. We'll declare your word. And God, we're going to bug you. We're not going to let you sleep till we see it happen. Because you said we could and you gave us permission. So Lord Jesus, we love you. Like rain,
washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness.
If anybody's here, you say, Alan, I want to be. Yeah, Rachel, come on. Say, Alan, I think the Lord wants me to be an evangelist. I'm not saying you got to get you a tent and go preaching. I'm just saying you want to declare God's word. That's all you know. If that's you, get up here. I want this young man to pray for you. Come on. Hurry. Come on. The Lord's wanting you to speak. You know who you are. Now come on. You're holding us back. You want to speak God's word. Come on. We're going to pray the word over you.
Pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Word of God, speak. Won't you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Won't you pour still and know you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Won't you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know.
One of us in our life. Lord, I just want to pray right now a preceding word over this congregation, that the preceding word of this congregation would be, oh God, that this would be a group of people under the sound of my voice, this group of people that, dear God, we will be diligent about praying your word into the heavenlies. That we will be diligent, oh God, for this county, for our city, for this state, for our nation. Dear God, I pray right now that all intercessors would get back on the wall, that I pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to stir them up. Stir up, oh God, the intercession in all of our lives so that the Word of God, that the Word of God would speak in Jesus' name.
Send your power, send your rain, fall on us, make us whole again. Send your power, send your rain, fall on us, heal our land. Send your power, send your rain, fall on us, make us whole again. Send your power, send your rain.
Thinking about going to the doctor. I save that copay. God wants to heal you today.
Amen. You hear that? It's a rash. Amen. Amen.
Send your power, send your rain, fall on us, heal our land. Send your power, send your rain.
Called in evangelism, or if you need to be refired in evangelism, I don't know what it is. It's something about the evangelism. It's something about the fire of God. It's something about being restirred, restarted. That's all I know. But whoever, if the Holy Ghost is speaking to you, I need you to come up here. We're going to sing it through one more time, and I'm going to pray and release us. Can we heal our land one more time? Or show fire or something?
Send your power, send your rain, fall on us, heal our land. Send your power, send your rain, fall on us, make us whole again. Send your power, send your rain, fall on us, heal our land. Send your power, send your rain, fall on us, make us whole again. Send your power, send your rain. Send your power, send your rain.
service. No music, just a minute.
Send your power, send your rain, fall on us, heal our land. Send your power, send your rain, fall on us, make us whole again. Send your power, send your rain, fall on us, heal our land. Send your power, send your
just
rain,
want a base. Fall just on a base.
Us, make us whole again. Send your power, send your rain, fall on us, heal our land. Send your
come on,
power,
church.
Send your
come
rain,
on, church.
Fall
put your hat in. Bring it in. Give me some drums. Give me some
send
drums.
Power,
give me some drums, Alex.
Fall on us. Heal our land. Send your power. Send your rain. Fall on us. Make us whole.
Give me some drums. Come on.
Send your power. Send your rain. Fall on us. Heal our land.
Is that why you're still here? You know, it's amazing. It's 12:30. You know y'all can go. But I tell you what. Let's just sing it one more time. There's a few people here that are still needing some prayer. If you feel like you need to leave, it's okay. But if you want to stay, if you need a little bit of prayer, if you just want to stay, we're going to sing it one more time. Can we do a little rain, a little power? Can we worship the Lord just one more time? Kind of bring it on up there. Shoot it out the top.
Send your power, send your rain, fall on us, heal our land. Send your power, send your rain, fall on us, make us whole again. Send your power, send your rain, fall on us, heal our land. Send your power, send your rain.
Today. Dear God, I pray that as we leave this place, that you will be glorified, that we'll be looking up your scripture, we'll be looking up your word, and we'll be praying your word into our crisis. And we're going to bug you, oh God. We're going to bug you, oh God. We're going to be after you, oh God. We're going to run after you, oh God, for this county, for our loved ones, for our children, against sickness, against disease, We claim Alexander Central is a revival place for the Almighty God. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I can't hear you. Take it up. The love of God go with you. May His power go with you. May He give you peace. May He give you revelation. May you walk this day forth in a person, male and female, that never has to be ashamed, for they know the God in which they serve. They know the power of the cross of Jesus and who died for them. Let us go and declare unto the earth, let the glory fall through these people this day to the earth. And dear God, we say yes to your declaration. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Call on us, Eli Lamb.